This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Clay Harbor, former NFL player.
Clay Harbor, slot to the left. The second tight end. Here's Vic's pass. And it's caught. Touchdown by Harbor.
He's going for that. He's got a receiver. And that's a touchdown.
Clay Harbor makes that catch. A 31-yard reception. Good catch. Good throw. Good read.
And they've got Harbor for the touchdown. Beating to Sean Gibson, 18-yard touchdown pass by Chad Henning.
Football analyst for Chicago Sports Network.
I think the thing I've been most impressed with in Rome Odunze out there in OTAs and minicamp, David, is his versatility. And you can see that he has taken another step.
Clay Harbor on 670 The Score.
Wow, Clay Harbor gets a fancy open. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Our friend Clay Harbor is here, the former NFL tight end. Dreams and nightmares appropriate because he played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is the co-host of the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN. Good to see you, Clay, in studio.
What up, Clay?
You know, I think, you know, accountability is like that buzzword for the Chicago Bears right now. I want to shout out to whoever is holding down, you know, this intro package for the 670 Score. Because I came on Mullen Hall the other week and they had the bachelorette thing still on there. And I go, can somebody please get rid of this bachelorette thing?
That's part of your resume.
I come in studio and it's all football, Chicago sports. I love it. That is accountability.
Are you denying, by being accountable, are you denying that you are a part of the Bachelor Nation?
You know, it was an interesting time of my life, but I'm trying to get past that that Clay Harbor bachelorette thing and focus more on the played 9 years in the NFL thing. You know, that's more of what I'm looking to do now, Marshall.
I didn't watch the show, so
me either.
I'm always really bad about talking about it because I don't watch.
You know when I found out about it?
It was Robbie Triano who worked on your open. And
yeah.
Robbie's over here.
Yeah, appreciate it, Robbie. Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It, Robbie.
And Tyler Feringel is also a part of our production staff. We call him Baby T.
Accountability, man.
Sanctioned nickname for him.
But Clay, I didn't even know you were part of the Bachelorette thing until I got to Chicago and we were out one time and somebody was like, I was like, what is this about? And you explained it to me. I was like, I didn't even know you were on the Bachelorette. See, I know you for your football skills.
No, I met Marshall, for the people that don't know, 10-plus years ago in Philadelphia when he was covering the Eagles. I think he worked for NBC Sports Philadelphia.
I think he worked. Okay, yeah. You're a funny guy.
I think that's where he worked.
Yes.
And, that's where I met Marshall Harris.
But
I didn't even know that. I heard you guys had a shore house together, and then I just like looked at Marshall with the biggest eyes, and I was like, I'm not going to ask any questions. I
looked at me with the biggest eyes?
I did. Yeah, you remember that. You go, oh, yeah, we had a shore house together, and I just go, I'm like, this is not my business.
A lot of people in and out of said shore house. I used to go down mainly during the week because I worked weekends. But yeah, we were down in South Jersey in Avalon, New Jersey. I would occasionally make my way down there and see Clay.
Marshall Harris was a different dude in Philly.
Yo,
we're not going to talk about it.
Not on the air.
Oh, even I know about
Marshall
that.
Harris in Philadelphia. Okay.
I do miss the Princeton. The bar, that is a fun spot in Philly, like, or in Avalon.
Can we focus on the here and now?
Yeah.
Can we focus on this Bears team?
No, we're going to talk about hypotheticals because we hear Nick Chubb is signing with Houston.
Yes.
That is the latest report. That's expected to happen. So then that got us thinking because I said to Marshall, Clay, I don't think that the Bears create this much cap space and extend Joe Tooney unless there's a reason. I don't think they're done when it comes to acquisitions for this team. What do you think? I think that they may still be looking for another running back.
I think they need another running back. I thought that Kyle Manungai, I was out there for every open OTA, every open day of minicamp, every day of rookie minicamp at Hallis Hall. I saw it all. Kyle Manungai improved. He's a guy that's got probably more burst than you would think. He catches the ball much better than I thought he did. Watching him at Rutgers, I didn't think the guy could catch the football. He catches football. Obviously, you've probably heard people talking about that long drive. Caleb Williams, he caught the touchdown after having a nice catch before that. So the guy is more versatile than you would think. He's not just run it between the tackles, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type player. So I like Kyle Manungai. I think Roschon Johnson is a guy that could have a big year, but he hasn't shown that yet. And, you know, looking at him in OTAs and minicamp, he needs pads on before he starts to pop. He's one of those guys that's a break tackle guy. He's not a guy that's got a ton of burst. So you're not really seeing much out of him there. But let's just hypothetically say DeAndre Swift gets hurt. Any player can get hurt at any time. Now your two running backs are Kyle Manungai and Roschon Johnson.
Don't forget about Ian Wheeler.
Ian Wheeler coming off of an ACL injury. So I think that is a position that they need to address. And I got two letters for you, and I'm not just kidding.
It's
JK.
Okay.
JK. JK's still out there.
Dobbins.
You want them to go sign him?
I looked at his tape. I said, okay, this guy's got injury history, you know, longer than the list of, a long list, you know, Santa's wish list. I mean, this guy's got a long injury history too. Played in 14 games last year, career high in yards, had a career high in touchdowns. The guy looked explosive. He looked like he had some wiggle. He's more of a downhill runner that would fit with DeAndre Swift. I think J.K. Dobbins and DeAndre Swift would be a nice 1-2 combo, and you wouldn't have to rely so heavily on either Roschon or Kyle Manungai, would take some pressure off of those backs.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I just think that there's somebody else that is going to be added to this team just based on the amount of cap space alone. They know they can't take that with them next year. I know you have to have a certain amount to be able to just operate the operating cost, but I agree. I think that Dobbins would be a really good fit. I also like the stat, Clay, that he was 7th in the NFL last year in yards after contact per carry.
That's a huge stat.
You hit him and he doesn't go down.
That's a huge stat. To me, that's one of the biggest stats for a running back. When you're blocking for a running back, you want him to be able to run through those arm tackles. And that's something DeAndre Swift does not do well. He was in the 40s in that same stat. I was just checking that out. The year before Ben Johnson called plays in Detroit, Swift averaged 12.5 carries a game. When Ben Johnson started calling plays in Detroit, he averaged 7 carries per game. He obviously used Swift a lot in the passing game, screens, moved him around, versatile piece. But he wasn't a guy that he was giving the ball to that often. We're talking sporadically.
I'm looking at this situation right now, and if they don't go and add another running back, it's giving me Kyle Shanahan vibes of we're just going to plug and play. Maybe even a little Mike McDaniel. We're just going to plug and play. We don't necessarily have to have an elite back to get things done on offense. Now, that's worked in a variety of ways because eventually Kyle Shanahan and the crew, they went out and got a guy who is an elite running back. So maybe for the time being, he figures he can scheme it up, has the offensive weapons at other positions, and will tailor his offense, not to neglect the running game for sure, but says, I have enough to get by in year one. Is that something that could be a possibility in your eyes?
I think so, especially with a guy like Luther Burden and obviously DJ Moore. These are high run after catch type guys. So you can treat a quick throw as a run. You know, even from the slot, you know, quick throw, get 5 yards, get the ball in one of these guys' hands. Luther Burden is incredible after the catch. He was the best receiver in the entire draft after the catch. Super explosive. If you take just his top 25 plays and watch those, there's sometimes he maybe took a play off here or there. I don't think that'll be a problem with Antoine Randall-L as his wide receiver coach. But if you just watch his tape, his yards after catch, incredible. This guy is going to make dividends, pay dividends on that just because he's so good once you get the balls in his hand. So I think I think that they maybe will scheme up two or three touches a game for even him in the running game.
How concerning, given your experience and what you know about mandatory minicamp, is it that a rookie in Luther Burden III couldn't take part? And how concerned are you about his injury in general?
Yeah, you want him to take part. New offense, obviously, he's getting his first taste of the NFL. When I saw him out there at rookie minicamp, I said, okay, this guy's explosive. He runs good routes. He gets in and out of breaks. He's making some nice catches. Let's see him get some real cornerbacks that are actually going to be on the field. And that's the one position, receiver, where I think you can get some real work in OTAs, because guess what? You don't need pads to run against a cornerback. Linebackers ain't tackling nobody. O-line ain't blocking that much.
Yep.
But receivers, you're still running full-speed routes. So we got to see a lot of the receivers, and I was looking forward to seeing Loveland and Luther Burden, and unfortunately, couldn't see either of them.
Yeah, and we don't know when they're coming back, right?
I mean, well, and I wonder how much of this we're going to hear about later in training camp. Oh, well, they weren't here for mandatory minicamp. Oh, they couldn't participate in OTAs. You know, that's an easy thing to discuss when it comes to potential lack of production that's expected if that happens. You know, I feel like that's something we go back to the well on.
Well, it could take him a little bit of time to, you know, come into the offense. Because a guy that really impressed me at OTAs was Olamide Zaccheaus. At who? OZ, Olamide Zaccheaus. Remember the name, Marshall Harris. He was on the Commanders last year. And 2 years ago, he was on the Philadelphia Eagles. Had a pretty good year with Jaden Daniels.
I remember because he had nobody else to throw to because people were hurt.
Slot guy. This guy's quick. He's making plays. I was surprised how much wiggle he had. They're out there doing this punt return drill. Everybody's watching the ball off the punter's foot, you know, making sure they're going to catch the ball. OZ, Olamide Zaccheaus, was turned around looking the other direction. He wouldn't turn around and find the ball until the ball started to descend. Like, that's a veteran move right there, just so he was working so much on finding the ball. So that's impressive. Spinning around backwards, then looking to find the ball. How do you think Velus Jones would do with that?
Oh, don't do that.
But I was told it was going to be hard to make the roster last year, and then he was kept until a certain amount of time passed.
Okay, so we're with Clay Harbor, who joins us live in studio to talk about his observations at mandatory minicamp here on Raheemy and Harrison. Clay, I got to know what your biggest takeaway was from those days. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that you saw, but maybe something you heard in all those availabilities that followed the practices.
Okay, what everybody wants to hear. Let's just talk about it. The top two stories, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams, we'll start with OTAs. Okay, up and down OTAs. I know people in Chicago hate to hear that. They want to hear, no, this guy's trajectory is straight up. He's looking good. MVP. It was up and down, okay? He's a little slow getting through his reads, I think. He made some plays. Accuracy, downfield accuracy is a little bit spotty.
Still
a little bit spotty. I mean, he made some plays. He got better, though, come minicamp. I'm not saying it's perfect. You saw some big drives. He missed some plays I know he wants back that you could see him making come season. But what this reminds me of is, Marshall, I've been a part of a lot of OTAs and minicamps. I've been in OTAs and minicamps with Michael Vick. I've been in OTAs and minicamps with Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matt Stafford, all these quarterbacks on the field in the huddle with these players. Okay, some guys, say Michael Vick, it looked to me in OTA's minicamp, Kevin Cobb beat him out. You know why? Because once you start playing football, Michael Vick is able to use his playmaking ability. You're not just tagging off on a sack. He can escape. You're not just able to, you know, it doesn't matter as much that you're in rhythm, that the rhythm part of the offense. I think Caleb can get better at that, and he needs to. You need to marry those two together. But he will look better once you start playing in real games and real situations, and once they started moving the ball, he looked better. This takes me back to Jacksonville. I know this guy isn't an MVP caliber guy, isn't a guy that the name elicits a ton of value, but I'll say Blake Bortles. He was a third overall pick in Jacksonville. I remember he came in for OTAs. First time I got a look at him, I go, oh, man. I go, this guy is bad. B-A-D. Like, a guy couldn't make a read. He was slow getting the ball out. Then Chad Henne ended up being our starting quarterback. Michigan, go blue. And and he gets hurt, like, week four. And I'm like, oh, man. Now Blake Bortles got to come in. This guy's terrible. I hate to say it. He's a rookie. He's going to get better, maybe, but he's not ready. Blake comes in. I'm not saying he set the world on fire, but he played well. And I'm like, man, this guy is really one of those guys that you turn the lights on. You have an offensive coordinator that limits the game plan, that schemes certain plays. That's not what we're seeing right now. When you get Ben Johnson a week to scheme, he's going to scheme some of these guys just wide open.
So tailoring it.
tailoring it, making sure specifically, I think right now he's throwing a ton at Caleb to see what he can do, and then he's going to narrow it down come training camp, come preseason, come regular season. Right now they're seeing if he can do the play action stuff. They're seeing his left foot up. So they're seeing a lot of different things. So I don't think it's necessarily a panic situation that he's still up and down and missing some throws. I think it's a, we're going to narrow this down come season and seeing what he can do and really zone it, hone in on all of that.
I also think that from what I've heard Ben Johnson say, it sounds like he wants to make practice a lot harder than your game. Yeah, like this is the time where he wants you to be frustrated. He wants you to suffer because he wants the game to just be muscle memory. Do what you're supposed to do, like follow the plan. By that point, you've got it on lock. But I do feel like this is the time where he wants to make people uncomfortable.
And Dennis Allen, he ain't doing him no favors. This guy's running double A-gap blitzes, mug blitzes, cross dogs. I'm over there. I was really good at identifying what the coverage is, right? So I'm like, okay, it's a motion. Cole Kmet's motioning out. The linebacker fouls. I'm like, oh, this is man-to-man. Zone. I'm like, this guy's just doing some confusing stuff out there. Okay, this is one high for sure. No, they pop a two from some inverted look. Like, Dennis Allen is in his bag right now. Like, Dennis Allen is a guy that's confusing. They're throwing a lot of looks at him. Typically, in OTAs and minicamp, it's very vanilla. It's very bland. You kind of want to see what's going on. No, Dennis Allen's confusing these guys. So I think this is good. They're throwing a ton at him. And they're being held accountable. That's one thing you'll say about this coaching staff. Eric Bieniemy is holding these running backs accountable. Antoine Randall is holding these wide receivers accountable. I think a lot of these receivers are going to take a step this year. Al Harris, these cornerbacks come back to the field. Dennis Allen, as much as you're hearing about Ben Johnson, you know, the F that, get back in the huddle, you know, Caleb was, time was running down. Caleb looked to Ben to get the play again. Ben goes, hey, it's under 20 seconds. Figure it out. Delay a game. Dennis Allen is right there after every play, talking to the defense, letting them know what they're doing. So this accountability, if that's what they wanted, they are getting it from this coaching staff.
Yeah, that's the thing we keep hearing about. And I don't think it's necessarily purposeful, but when you hear everybody after practice talk about details, for example, like Tyreek Stevenson and mentioning that, or then you hear other players talk about the paying attention to details in a way that, like at practice, oh yeah, if this happens, then we do it again. Or DJ Moore talking about body language. What are your takeaways when you hear them talk about the current staff based on what we knew about the previous one?
Well, I mean, it's kind of telling that everybody wanted to be coached more. You hear, I think it was Tyson Bagent, was like, you know, you're getting the culture that you wanted for the last couple years. And to hear that, I mean, that's very telling. You know, obviously, you know, you don't want to slander Matt Eberflus and his staff more than they've already been slandered. But I really think that was a miss. And to hold on to him a year longer was a miss. But we did get Ben Johnson. But I think you just see the difference out there. And I've been a part of a lot of coaching staffs. Like, as much as I'm talking about these quarterbacks I've played with, I've been in OTAs with Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, Jim Caldwell, Sean Payton, been on the field. Unless I was imagining all that. No, I was out there. I was playing with these field in the locker rooms, in the meetings, in these coaches. This is a similar vibe. Sean Payton, you're not, every detail matters. If you are not doing your job, you are going to hear about it. And then after you hear about it, if you're not doing your job, you're gone. You're not going to play. So that's how that works.
I just want to make one clarification before we get more from Clay Harbor on the Bears and many other things that we're going to talk about. There was no Matt Eberflus slander, because the definition of slander is to make a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. I think everything we've said has been demonstrably proven to be true about Matt Eberflus and his skill set as a head coach.
Well, also, there was just the actual tape.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, that part is also effective as well. We have more coming up with Clay Harbor here on 670 The Score. He is in studio. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. As we mentioned, a lot of news in the NFL recently. Want to get Clay's take. And apparently some Bears news that just came across as well. So we will mention that. That's coming up here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What do Chris Finch, Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, Quinn Snyder, and one Billy Donovan have in common?
Oh, they're all NBA coaches.
Yes.
Active NBA coaches.
What else do they have in common, though?
They've all been called upon the New York Knicks.
And the New York Knicks don't employ any of those guys. There are plenty of, last I checked, there's plenty of free agent coaches out here just looking for their next job. But the New York Knicks have been very aggressive in saying, hey, can we have permission to talk to your head coach? And all five of those teams said, what are you talking about? No.
Also, I understand that you think you're the Knicks, but they think they're employed. So there's an impasse there. Casey Johnson with the latest news. The Knicks requested permission to speak to Billy Donovan for their coaching vacancy, but were, like everyone else, denied. The Bulls value Donovan highly for his coaching acumen. Don't we know it? Communication skills. Of course. An ability to connect with players and all members of organization. I will also say, and media. I love it when Billy talks.
Listen, Billy Donovan is going to be the linchpin to why the Bulls are never going to fall out of play-in contention. Notice I said play-in, not playoff. Play-in contention.
Remember that time we were like, oh, wow, look at the difference between the talent in the Eastern Conference when you consider how the Bulls lost to the Heat in the play-in, and then how the Heat ended up getting eliminated. And then it's like Pacers Thunder.
Remind me again.
We're a long way away.
Remind me again how the Heat were eliminated. How did that game go, the Heat, when they got into the playoffs?
Violently. I also want to point out this, though, from Cody Westerlund. Our Cody Westerlund. There was some speculation at the NBA Combine that Billy Donovan and the Bulls would get an extension done.
Another one?
Sometime this offseason. And this development lends credence to that thought. Well, we already know more about this extension potential than we did the last one.
This just confirms what we've always known, suspected, however you want to put it. The Bulls are very comfortable with where they are. They're way more comfortable with where they are than, say, I don't know, the fan base. And they know that Billy Donovan has been key in keeping them in this play-in mix. And by, I guess, connection, the possibility of going to the playoffs, although that possibility goes up and down depending on the night.
I'm not getting rid of one of the most valuable parts of the organization to let the Knicks talk to him. And Billy is from New York. He's from Long Island.
Connection can be there, but...
Also, it's the Knicks. I mean, there is a certain panache to that job, but apparently not enough for any one of these teams to let their coaches talk. Also, what did the Knicks have in mind exactly? Like, when you fired Tibbs, what did you think was going to happen?
I guess this is what they thought was going to happen, which says a lot about where the Knicks are.
Well, I mean, we knew that. I think Joe Kelly hit it on the head when he said there was 2 years of peace while Dolan was distracted working on the Sphere.
Oh, my goodness.
But now the Sphere is constructed. And now he's back.
Ray, did you have something to add?
Yeah. I just wonder how common this type of thing actually is and if teams are just better about keeping it on the down low. As opposed to the Knicks just letting it all out somehow, some way, these things are getting leaked out.
I think what you have is overconfidence. Like they fired Tibbs after getting to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. And then they're like, well, that's not good enough. We can get anybody. You can't actually get anybody.
Especially if they're under contract. That's what's crazy.
I don't necessarily think Michael Malone was the game changer here. I think it was Jay Wright saying that he wanted to stay put in retirement.
You think that was their first inkling, their first call because of the Villanova connection?
Yes, and I think that now they are scrambling. That's just what I think. I do not have any sources on this. I just read. That was my impression.
That's what we're here for, is to get our opinions out there. And this is, here's my opinion on the Knicks. They don't know what they're doing. They are dysfunctional, and it starts with the owner. And on down, I don't blame it on them. I just go straight to James Dolan. He is the bad guy in every situation. Every other NBA owner should be thankful that he is the owner of the New York Knicks.
Especially the Mavericks.
I'm also just thinking about the players. There was a report a couple weeks back that players were unhappy with Rick Brunson's role on the team. So you have players already unhappy with that situation, and now they got to be looking at this like, what are we doing, man?
Well, it wasn't just that. Don't you remember what Brian Geltzeiler said to us about the fact that Brunson may be getting an unnecessarily high amount of touches, even for him, and that his dad had something to do with that? That didn't come from nowhere. And then what happens? But yeah, you probably think Jay Wright's going to fix that, except he ain't coming back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think it's not just Cade and Ben. I think it's Matt Shaw, it's Pete. I think with all these guys, I mean, you know, you have to have young players coming up and contributing. You can't be a good team without it, but they're not going to be the most consistent performances. And obviously those guys have had to step up for us this year in big roles. But you have to expect some inconsistency. You know, if you want that true consistency, or you're looking at more veteran guys, and at some point that's cost prohibitive.
That was Jed Hoyer yesterday. He had an appearance before the media who were attending Game 3 of the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and you, as we try to figure out, to some nice Outkast music from Robbie Triano, what they are going to do at the trade deadline. And I think Jed Hoyer has told you politely on the John Heyman and John Sherman podcast about what he plans on doing. And then he kicked it up a notch in the media availability afterward, because if you think the Cubs need starting pitching, so does the president of baseball operations. Let's take a listen.
Obviously, we've played really well. Our position playing group has just been outstanding, both offensively and defensively. And I think that gives some clarity. Obviously, you don't know what's going to happen over the next month and a half with that group. But I think that, you know, right now the focus would be on adding pitching depth. I think that would be the clear thing. And, you know, maybe there's an upgrade, whether it's on the bench, whether, you know, it's just some complimentary piece. But I think that this group, I think, it is a really good group. And like I said, it's not just on offense, it's on defense as well.
I appreciate him saying that, but I know that he seems to be even more clear about that depth and what he wants to build with this team.
Good. Great. That should be the overriding message again at the trade deadline, which is still, I want to point out, more than 6 weeks away. They should be going out to get depth, and it should not be fill out the roster depth. It should be top of the rotation depth.
I think, just like we were saying with Ben Brown, think about how another healthy starter, not even a top of the line starter, but another two or three could make such a massive difference in how you feel about the Cubs rotation. Ben Brown likely automatically moves to long relief. You have more depth and you feel better. Do you feel as good as you would if it's somebody like perhaps Sandy Alcantara, whose name has been thrown around a lot? I think he's going to command a huge price from somebody because it is such a seller's market. But either way, pitching will improve this team.
I don't agree on the even a two or three. Here's why. Because Shota Imanaga is back. And once he comes back, I would assume it would be Ben Brown and or Colin Ray that go down when you make a trade. And I don't think a two or three is going to, like, to me, Shota Imanaga is great, right? But would you call him a true ace? Would you say, I like Shota's chances against Tarek Skubal? I don't know that I would.
I think that based on what I've seen, I like his chances. As to saying he's the stopper, like if the Cubs go into a situation where they've lost, not back-to-back series, I don't think that's as big of a deal right now because of the quality of the two teams and the Tigers and the Phillies. But if it's a situation where you know you need a guy who you know will beat the team in front of you on the mound, no matter what the talent level is, I don't know that Shota is that guy, but right. I know he's the Cubs ace.
Yes, he is the Cubs ace. And I'm just saying, in order to make a World Series push, that is the goal. The goal is not to get to the playoffs. The playoffs are what should be the standard, especially in Jed Hoyer's final year running the baseball side of things here for the Cubs. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to go out and you're going to give up assets, get a top of the line starter, and they will be available. It's just going to be, are you willing to pay the toll?
Yeah, I agree with Jed, though, in that it is going to be a seller's market, and it's a matter of how much you're going to give up. You already gave up Cam Smith and others in a trade to get Kyle Tucker. So that makes me wonder what it would be next. Would it be big league talent for big league talent? And I agree about the bench depth. Your bench can't be Justin Turner and Vidal Brujan on repeat.
And he kind of mentioned that a little bit. I think the biggest key right now is they need a right-handed power threat bat in the way that Justin Turner would have been 5 years ago.
Yes, 5 years ago, Justin Turner would have been awesome. 5 years ago, he was great on that World Series Dodgers team. Yeah, that would have been lovely.
But I say all that to say the Cubs are just fine right where they are right now in terms of getting through the season as a first-place team, winning most of their series, beating the teams we know they should beat. They're doing that. But I want to see them more competitive, more consistently against other teams fighting for playoff spots, and that's where we're lining this up right now.
If I'm putting a GM hat on and I see the emergent pattern of my team is struggling against one or two in your rotation lefties and also aces in this manner, and I have guys like Ian Happ telling me we need to walk more, we need to work the count more as hitters, and you see that play out the way it did yesterday, even though Luzardo is not, he's not, you know, the typical 1-2 type, then you've got to be able to address this before it gets to a situation where it's biting you in the keister come September. And we saw that happen.
I'm wondering right now just how much we're going to learn now that that series is over, now that the road trip is over, 4-5. Again, nothing to write home about, but that's not a worst-case scenario. But far from it. It was an odd number series. You're either going to go 5-4 or 4-5. I'm okay with the road trip in totality, if you will.
The Marshall math?
Well, yeah, the math of it all.
But Sox math has been replaced by Marshall math.
But I think
Marshall math is a little more understanding. And frankly, you know that I was always a proponent of Sox math. I didn't like the way Dan Lawrence treated the people on those videos. I thought that they deserved to be there. This is Layla Rahimi, and I approve my own message on the score.
She is Layla Rahimi. I am Marshall Harris. We're talking about the Cubs getting ready to dive into it, if you will, with Jed Hoyer as the trade deadline gets closer and they're getting things together, trying to prime themselves to be in position to go out and get help. And again, it's not regular season help that they need. It is the help that they need to be able to win series in the playoffs.
It's like Alex Caruso help if you're the Thunder. That's really what this is. Let's listen to also what Jed Hoyer had to say to Brian Kenny of MLB Network about the difference between building his team in 2016 and building it to try to contend now.
You talked about how different it is just getting innings and get from your starters and innings from your whole staff, even compared to your championship team. What's that long ago? How different is baseball now from going back to 2016?
Yeah, it's so different now. I think I look back on 2016. I mean, we really just, it was Arrieta, Lester, Hendricks, Lackey, Hamill, and those guys were getting into the seventh and eighth inning pretty much every game. And so it felt like you only had to use two or three relievers in winning games. The game is so different now. You're not going to see guys go third time through the order as much. The bullpens are so talented now that you actually want those guys in the game. So it's really difficult to piece it together every night. And, you know, I saw that the Dodger thing last night. I understand it because ultimately, you know, you've got to save your guys for winning games. And, you know, sometimes you're trying to win that game. But sometimes, like Dave did last night, you're looking at the length of the season or the rest of the series. And so now those are decisions we have to make more now than we ever had to make before.
You know what I thought about? I thought about how A.J. Hinch used his starters against the Sox to get to the Cubs.
I mean, that's a real thing, right? And it was validated by what happened next, at least in his eyes. I know they lost the series finale, ended up with a split on the South side. But when you look at what happened afterwards...
Nah, you take it on the chin against that team because you're trying to get to the other team.
Listen,
where's the battle, win the war?
I think they're winning the war clearly with where the Tigers are in the pecking order, especially in the American League right now, because that's really what matters is getting the top seed. The Cubs are in that discussion, that top seed discussion. So while they want to bolster their team for the here and now and the rest of the regular season, they can't lose sight of what's the most important thing, which is, is your team playoff ready with starters and arms? And the Ben Brown thing is great because if they do get the starting that they need, if they have Ben Brown coming in to give you relief innings and he can give you a couple of innings here, one and a third there, depending on what the situation is, that's just another. They've got an army of arms and they're not done adding. They just keep adding.
Ben Brown showed you he can give you six. He just can't give you six right away. Like, that's it. I'm not trying to say he's terrible or anything like that. That is not the case. I'm just saying he's telling you where to put him in a game. And the answer is anywhere but the first.
I think the other thing is when we talk about the opener strategy, it's not just about his mental, whatever you want to call it, trepidation in his approach to the first inning specifically. It's also, if you miss that first three to four batters, if the opener were to put somebody on or even give up a run.
Yeah.
If that happens, when your second inning guy comes in, the guy that would have been your starter, now when you're talking about going the third time through the order, he's not going through the first three to four guys. So that can lengthen even his experience there.
And he himself has talked about it. Like, he himself has said, the reason I faced these batters at this high leverage moment late in the game is because of how I didn't put people away in the first inning. Like, I love that. I love that he'll tell you about it. But Jed Hoyer is also telling you what he wants to do here. And I appreciate him talking about how long the pitchers that he had that year would go in games, because it's something that I think gets lost in the entire discussion. There was definitely a circle of trust in 2016. There's no doubt about that. That was something we all talked about with the Joe Maddon circle of trust all of the time. And it seemed like there were only three dudes in that circle of trust by the time we got to the World Series.
Hey,
poor
man.
Aroldis Chapman's arm was about to fall off.
Things get real narrow when you get towards the end of the season, because it's like, I got to have these outs and I can't give up any runs. I that's what I love about baseball's postseason, is the narrowing of like who you're going to use in certain situations. And you know, this is make or break time, because when you get to those elimination games specifically or a clinching game, it's like, we got to end this now so we can reset everything for the next series. And if you're in an elimination situation, it's like, we got to just live to see tomorrow. Also, on
that's exactly what happened. and then it's like, oh yeah, John Lester will get a clean inning. He'll get a clean inning if he comes out in relief. No, that is not what happened. And chaos ensued. Yes.
I also appreciate the texters, 312-644-6767, specifically because I woke up this morning thinking about this very thing.
Yes.
708. Wonder if the Cubs could use a Luis Robert on their bench. And what I talked about with the bench piece that they need from a hitting standpoint, if Luis Robert is back to hitting, he would fit really, really nicely with what they're doing.
Yeah, but again, what are you willing to give up for Luis Robert?
The price isn't that high right now.
It is not, but when I think you're talking about a seller's market, I think a lot of the league knows that when he gets off of that team, he's going to be rejuvenated.
Can you imagine him in the Cubs lineup?
Where is he playing? He's playing on the bench.
No, he'd be on the bench. And I still think he's a starter
exactly.
for a team.
He's
that,
too good defensively, that's where it's just a way too much of a headache.
They're not the Dodgers, the Cubs.
Headache.
Like, that's a lot of...
Well, what do you do with Happ? What do you do with Suzuki? What do you do with Tucker? Like, that's where it's like, you can't... It breaks my brain thinking of Luis Robert Jr. on the Cubs. Where would he play?
It breaks my brain to think of Luis Robert Jr. on a bench for a playoff team, but realistically, that's probably what he is right now.
Yeah, I think Layla's point that she just made about what you have as far as bench depth, it makes sense, because also they got more lefties they're going to face this season. And that's one way you can get him into the order so you don't have both Bush and PCA off without thinking, oh, Luis Robert Jr. could be that guy.
And the Cubs had such good bench depth in 2016 that we were talking about how people had to get sent down to the minors because there was no place for them in the big league roster. You know, that was like Chris Coughlin and Matt Caesar and that whole discussion. That's how strong their bench was. Not to mention the catchers that they had at the time as well. Join the Scores, Mark Grody and Robbie Mokloff, by the way, for a special live broadcast today at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar. That is 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst from 2 to 6. So you got time to get there, guys. Bulls Radio Network analyst and three-time NBA champion Bill Winnington will make a special appearance from 4 to 6. You can finally see how tall you are compared to him in person. It is not a good time. Take in the first round action from Oakmont. It's always fun to watch this time of year. While you're on site, download and fund the Circus Sports Illinois app to receive a matchback incentive up to $500 directly in your account, and take your swing at $5,000 with a hole-in-one contest from the Lynx. That's to Tay if you guys want to go out and see them in Lindenhurst.
And you know what? You got even more time to get out there with us tomorrow because we'll both be at Gallagher Way for a special live broadcast from 10 a.m. to 12:45. We'll get you ready for Game 2 of Cubs Pirates. You know who's on the mound for that one, right? For the Pittsburgh Pirates. That would be Paul Skeens. It's a Paul Skeens
His day. Name rhymes with Skeens.
Yeah. Isn't it just Skeens?
I think so. What else rhymes with Paul Skeens, guys?
Leans. I was thinking leans, scenes. He's on like teens.
Paul Skeens, shoulder leans.
Yeah.
Dramamine.
Dramamines. I don't know.
Is Lima the, bean?
Yeah, beans. Paul Skeens, not Paul Beans.
Peas, tomatoes, potatoes.
We will be joined by President
Greens.
Of the Cubs Business Operations, Crane Kinney, and we'll have surprises along the way.
You name it!
Wow.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on! Does it tell you about Caleb that he's here leading those guys out there?
Yeah, I think he's committed to learning the offense. We're not where we need to be yet as a team, and he understands that. And any chance he gets to get a few more full speed reps, it sounds like he wants them.
That was Ben Johnson talking about Caleb Williams attending the Young Ones OTAs at Hallis Hall. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Is Young Ones like Hot Ones? Is that?
It's Youngins is too. I can't say that. That's reserved for kids and DeMar DeRozan talking about the younger players on the Bulls when he was here. Those were his youngins.
I mean, these are young players. These are a bunch of rookies and a bunch of special team guys and some other guys who just want to make an impression.
That is true. But it's also a quarterback who wants to get reps, and he's in his second season.
Yes.
So he's a young one. But I appreciate that he is there. And I think that is the most important piece of the Bears OTAs for me so far. Ben Johnson was probably the most informative yesterday when it came to what he is observing. We got a lot of interesting comments from some of the players, and we'll bring those up in a little bit on this segment. But when it came to Ben Johnson just speaking about not just that, what we heard, understanding that we're not there yet offensively, taking us through the install, I think is a big piece of this that is really important. So let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say about the growth that he's seen from Caleb Williams during this mini camp and OTA period.
We've loaded him up. We've tried a number of different things, long play calls, multiple plays at the line. We've dabbled here, tempo. We've dabbled here, there, and everywhere really throughout the springtime. And some comes a little bit more natural than others for him. But I do think we've seen him get better in really all facets. And so we'll have to sit down as a staff before we leave and when we come back, just to make sure we're honed in on what direction we want to go all together. But I feel pretty confident the things that he's put on tape that we can go ahead and get after a little bit.
What I heard there is I can work with this, but I think he knew that before he took the job. I think for Ben Johnson right now, I was really happy to hear him talk about the fact that his family's finally moving here, and that's going to get him to a different type of mode, if you will.
Yeah, he did talk about that. And he was asked that question. It wasn't like he brought it up on his own.
Right.
Patrick Finley asked about Ben Johnson's family, and he said he would appreciate having them here because he hasn't seen them for 4 months, is what he said.
And that's how you know that man's been locked in.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about him.
Who are you worried about, Layla?
I think there's a bit of discourse when it comes to Luther Burden's injury and Ben Johnson's comments about it. I heard it, and when I heard Ben Johnson talk about it, I think it was more about him explaining what you miss if you can't play at this time of the year. But let's listen to it again, because again, we like to give people context and we have time to let them speak. So let's let him speak.
He misses a lot. I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates. They got to be out there. They got to see you do it. They got to know that the guy right left of them, that they're going to do the right things and they're going to make the plays when called upon. So, I think it it's for everybody. And it's a shame that he got dinged up and missed all that time, because for a young player, that's it's really where you get the most reps, and you can get the get better in a hurry that way. So that's really for every player on this team.
I hate to repeat myself, but do you think you anticipate he'll be good for training camp?
He will, yeah.
So we hear that out of Ben Johnson, and I didn't necessarily think that was some sort of coded message to Luther Burden. I just thought it was him talking about the importance of learning what you can at this time of the year for rookies.
I don't think it was a coded message. I thought it was a pretty direct message, and that's something I have grown to appreciate about Ben Johnson here in the early going, the honeymoon phase, if you will, with him and the Bears, is that he's pretty direct. He says what he means, and he means what he says. He'll crack a joke here and there. He'll lighten the mood. He'll get serious when he needs to. The tone has been good throughout in terms of the appropriateness coming from the head coach, who's expected to do big things and do them quickly. And I think his point there is, if you're missing time, you're missing a chance to get better in a hurry. That's what I heard at the end of that particular answer from Ben Johnson.
Given what you and I have talked about, let's go back to the afternoon show talking to James Palmer, who does the podcast with Steve Wyche, or Steve Smith, rather. Given that James Palmer has the podcast, Steve Smith talked about some of the criticisms of Luther Burden. You bring it up with his head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, at Missouri. We hear what Coach Drinkwitz had to say. But that not necessarily a work ethic issue, but that the ont to might not be exactly where they wanted it to be. I think that that's something where change of scenery can help. I'm not too concerned about it right now. But that's the only reason I would give what Ben Johnson said any more meaning than what I heard yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the earlier comments from Steve Smith or Eli Drinkwitz, like his college coach, and his reaction to the Steve Smith comments about how, you know, that guy's got his own problems. He needs to be worried about other stuff. Talking about the former all-pro wide receiver in Steve Smith. I will say this. Going forward, for Luther, they ain't a lot of ball to go around here. You've got other receivers, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore. You've got
Olamide Zaccheaus, who everybody says has impressed.
Yes, Zaccheaus has been good as a free agent pickup from the Commanders. Also, you've got not one, but two tight ends in Cole Kmet and now Colston Loveland, who will also be looking for rock.
And it certainly sounds like Loveland is going to be used over the middle of the field, similar to what he was used at Michigan. Also, envision Sam Laporta, because that's the comp that the team has made to him, so you have an idea there. You're right. That doesn't leave a lot of ball to go around, especially when you want to run the ball.
So my point is, in Ben Johnson's answer there, taking what Luther Burden, the third question was a topic, and expanding it out for everyone, he said, listen, if you're missing stuff right now, you are behind. It's hard to catch up going against the caliber of people that he's going to be going up against. And we think that he and Colston Loveland will be somewhat in the same boat. But I think because Colston Loveland is a first-round pick and he's got a little bit more versatility, he will be prioritized.
If you ain't first, you're last.
That's what my man said.
Ricky Bobby.
But Ricky Bobby and them's.
Going back to who we both just said we trusted out of the Bears' brain trust in the last segment.
Follow him to freedom.
I'm listening to Coach.
Listen, Ben Johnson brought here for a reason, and he's been very clear. It might not be instant, but we're going to be better. And in order to be along with us when we are getting better, you've got to make the plays and know what's going on in training camp, practice leading up to. I expect them to have a better second half of the season and first half of the season. You just hope that Luther Burden III is there every step of the way.
Yeah, that is the hope. And these are the last days before they break for training camp where we can get some answers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.